Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear us scream and shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Hello, Ward.
Eric, how are you, my friend?
You know what, Ward? We're going to go warp speed, not ward speed. Actually, let's call it. We're going to go ward speed.
Ward Sleed.
What's that?
Ward Sleed is warp speed, except extremely slow.
Let's go ward speed through everything, including that we are
powered by
CommunityCars.com. Sponsor of the pod, Hoosier Hysterics. CommunityCars.com.
Hoosier Legends talk with Ward and Eric.
Paid out. Beautiful. You want to buy a car? Don't be a jackass. Go to communitycars.com. Buy it in person. Buy it on email. Buy it over the phone. They'll take care of you. Best price. Best customer service. They support NIL. They support Indiana Athletics. Don't be a jackass. Buy from communitycars.com.
They also have the best TikTok videos out there. Go check out Community Cars on TikTok. Evan does them all himself.
This is all lies. I mean, just all lies.
True. What?
Look, there is a lot going on with the transfer portal. A lot.
So much. My head's spinning.
It's too much to dedicate this intro to. We're either we'll do it together or I'll do one separately. I'll do a Twitter Spaces if you can't make it because you are with the family on vacation.
I'm on top of a mountain right now.
Yes. I will do Twitter Spaces in the next day or so, probably Wednesday or Thursday. I'll do a Twitter Spaces dedicated to transfer portal where we can talk about all that stuff and
you
put it out.
You know what, though? If I get a signal while we're on tour of Alcatraz prison with my family, I'd love to do a Spaces live from Alcatraz.
There is something very cool about that. I would like that. You should do a live Twitter video.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Why not?
That'd be cool. So listen, let's just get into the next segment, which is, of course, Indiana basketball with our guest. And we do that because...
Well, this is the part where you got to tell people that we are...
Brought to you by...
IU Ventures presents a segment without pretense. Hoosier Hoopla just for you.
All right. Like we said, we're doing this ward speed. We'll do a transfer portal and update on Indiana basketball on a Spaces. But right now, this guy is as important to Indiana basketball right now and for the immediate future as anyone. So let's get to this interview.
Okay.
Here comes our guest. Here comes our guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he's back. He's back. That's kind of a loaded statement. He's back. We'll break that down later. But most importantly, the most important thing you need to know about this man is he's my coach. I love him. He's my coach. But that might not mean a lot to listeners. So I'll turn it over to you, Eric, so you can talk about more relevant topics that this man might have in Hoosier minds. I lost it completely. I got kind of excited. He's my coach. I didn't know how to set you up for him.
X, I mean, how'd you deal with this idiot?
I mean, I honestly put him on the bench. He actually was coaching with me, so that's how I got it.
All right. So hailing from Tampa, Florida, by way of several places in Virginia, Fredericksburg, Woodbridge, but my favorite, Spotsylvania. That's right. He spent some time in Spotsylvania. We know him as the point guard for the Indiana Hoosiers for the last several years. And I'm just going to focus on some really good things. The thing that still sticks out in my head, the end of the 2021-22 season, were the eight games at the end of that year. He included in that eight-game stretch were back-to-back 24-point games, 57 assists and 20 turnovers in that stretch, 15 of 30 three-point shooting, 17.4 points a game, 7.1 assists. He came into this year as our starting point guard, of course. He played the first nine games of the year with huge games at Xavier, which was a huge win that we won, 23 points in that game. Huge game against North Carolina, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a game that we won. Again, a game against Arizona, which didn't go our way, but he turned in 11 points, 11 assists in that game, only 2 turnovers in that game. And then, of course, tragedy struck in the beginning of that Kansas game, and we will get into that. But I got to say, I wasn't sure 6 months ago that we'd get to do another one of these because I thought this guy would be on his way to a professional career. And while I'm sure that was what was in his plans, I got to say, I'm just happy we get to get him back because we love this guy. We love everything that he's about. We love what he means to Indiana. And I love that we get to watch him play for another season. At least I think we get to watch him play for another season. It's probably not official yet. We'll get into all that. Please welcome X-Man Xavier Johnson. All right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Doing better. I'm doing better.
Yeah. So just give us the skinny right now. How is the foot? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. You know, I'm getting back to working out today. I did my first workout with the guys that are returning. Just hoping that I get my waiver though still as well. Because I mean, it's not saying stone that I'm actually coming back yet. But you know, I'm gonna just go day by day, keep praying. You know, I still got to graduate though. So I mean, that's the most happiest thing I'm happy about right now.
Do you need us to reach out to the NCAA? Personal testimonies, what a fine young man you are. Would that help you or maybe hurt your cause?
I think it would help me. I honestly think it would help me, guys, because, I mean, there's a lot of people in my corner, though. So,
on the physical side of things, today was the first day of spring workouts with the guys that are returning.
So it was like you and three other guys.
Yeah, by the way, Warden, I can come play pickup, too. Like, if you need some guy, no, you don't want any of that. And then real quick on the physical side, are you still limited a little bit in what you can do or is it 100% full go?
I'm not actually 100% full go. I still have to see my doctor, but my foot is healed pretty much completely almost. I got to go see my doctor again tomorrow to see to check up on it again. But I actually have been competing a little bit with my team.
Good.
But not going 5-on-5 yet, but I would say I could do 1-on-1. Happy to be out there with my teammates, you know, being one of the leaders coming back, one of the top scorers from the team from previous years and leading us to the NCAA tournament for the 1 year. Just having me on board is, I think, is good as well.
Absolutely.
But I'm just trying to help the guys get prepared for next year. Because now we're not looking at the top spot anymore. I would say we're not expected to win the Big Ten championship or to even probably make the tournament right now. So, I mean, just try to get the guys prepared, getting better, and just make all our non-believers be believers. Because that's all I've been about in my career.
It's had to be a very difficult time for you, but right now where you're at, are you seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, just being to be out there with the guys again? Are you feeling better, not related to your foot?
I actually do feel better. You know, I was in a dark place during the season, especially when I went out, when I wanted to come back. But, you know, I guess it's honestly, when I say it's God's time, it's just God's time. And it's like I was hurt, but I wasn't able to come back, but I would actually been able to get my whole year back. So, I mean, God works in mysterious ways, honestly, because, you know, I could have been hurt in the 13th or 14th game and not been able to come back. But now it's like I really have a large chance of coming back. So I didn't get my year back, and I want to end my career off on a good note. And I want to win a championship. That's bottom line. I want to win a championship.
So let's go to the beginning of this season, because, like I said, the mindset that I know you were in, you were as locked in can be from the time that the 2021-22 season ended to the beginning of the 22-23 season. I mean, just all the reports coming out of workouts is that you were just killing people. And you and I talked, and we had you on the show too, but you were just laser focused on, we're going to win the Big Ten. You know, you're going to be the best point guard in the country. And you were going to, you know, continue that amazing run that you had at the end of 21-22. And you did have some new pieces. Namely, let's talk about Jalen Hood-Schifino. You have a new backcourt mate who is also a guy that needed the ball a lot, you know, to be as good as he wanted to be. And I know you guys got along great, when practice started, did it take you guys time to figure out how does that work between the two of you?
I mean, when he first got on campus, I don't think we were in the same team, because you know we were going to put the freshman through a ringer, and we did.
Yeah.
The first couple of weeks, we didn't lose a pickup game against them, and you know I think they got their first one within like 2 weeks, like the start of the third week that we started workouts, but we ended up winning more games that day. So I mean, I think that was the only game they won. So. I mean, we put him through a whole ringer, I would say, through summer workouts. But when me and Jalen started being on the same team, I would think it wasn't really hard not to play with another guard, because you know I'm honestly a combo guard. I was a combo guard coming out of high school, so I can play both positions. It's not a problem. It's just that, you know, all the coaches that I played for allowed me to have the ball in my hands majority of the time. So I mean, when I play with another guard, it's kind of more lethal, because you know I can catch and shoot as well, so I could do other things as well. So
that was was Coach Woodson looking to define it like, okay, now you're the one and he's the two, or he's the, you know, or was it going to be more free flowing and just like, we'll see who gets the ball running up the court and just go with it that way?
I would say it was more free flowing, because you know, whoever was hot, if Jalen was hot, I'd give him the ball, because, you know, I don't have a problem with anybody touching the ball. If you hot, go ahead, go score the ball. That's the point of the game for the team. But I would say a lot of that was proven in the Xavier Xavier and North Carolina game. You know, I was hot in the Xavier game, and then he was hot in the first half, and going into the second half too as well of the North Carolina game. And then I turned it on. It was winning time. So I mean, we were both comfortable playing with each other. You know, I honestly think that it'd have been trouble for the league and for the NCAA. I honestly believe that we're supposed to be playing tonight as well. So
yeah,
I mean, it was just things that it's a lot of variables into it. But I honestly believe that me and Jalen were one of the best backcourts in the nation.
Yeah, Have you been able to watch the tournament, or are you like me? And as soon as we lost, it's too painful to watch.
Nah. Because, you know, when I went down, it was kind of like, I honestly was like, I just didn't want to watch basketball, honestly, because, you know, I just got hurt. It's my first real injury that I've had in my career. So just after that, though, I was like, I like watching basketball. I got to watch basketball. It's the only thing I can watch. I watch a lot of stuff. And I was learning a lot, honestly. And I learned a lot, and I really can't wait to actually show what I, if I get my waiver, I really can't wait to show what I actually learned. Cause I actually learned a lot, the speed of the game, just everything alone, like just small parts of the game, just picking apart defenses and just seeing what different teams do. Honestly, I learned a lot, cause I've never watched the game from up close.
Right. You've always been
up close direction. I've always been play.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I will get into some of the learning stuff in a bit when we get to that point. I do, because I think it's fascinating. Let's talk about the beginning of the season. So the season starts. You guys play St. Mary's Sister of the Poor Blind School for the first two games, otherwise known as Morehead State and Bethune-Cookman. And you beat them by 100. And the truth is, like, you didn't have to do that much in those games. And those games are tough to really see, like, what we are. But the third game of the year was on the road against Xavier. And that was a big-time game. It felt like a big-time atmosphere. And you guys went in and played a tough-ass game, scored a bunch of points, and you did go off. 23 points, 2 assists, 2 of 2 threes. And it was like the first taste that we had of our full team in a hostile environment. How excited were you guys coming? And by the way, that was before we knew how good Xavier would end up being. Like, I mean, they were a very good team that competed in a really good conference and then had some success in the NCAA tournament. How good did that feel when you came out of that Xavier game? What were you guys feeling as a team?
We were feeling like we were one of the best teams in the country, honestly. But I don't think nobody actually knows this because I don't think it has been said, but me and Trace didn't practice that whole week before the game.
Really?
me and Trace did not practice that whole week before the game.
What, were you hurt or sick?
I had a nagging injury. I forgot. I don't know what was going on, but I had a nagging injury. And Trace Trace was dealing with his back issues and all that game as well. But, you know, just seeing us compete at a high level after not practicing, me and Trace and our intangible pieces with Fino still learning how to play.
Yeah.
Played it too as well, and it was his first time being in a hostile environment. So, you know, I was coming in the game. I knew I was ready to lead my team, but I honestly don't know how we came out and played like that. Because we look, I honestly think we looked terrible in the first half, but we turned it on in the second half as a unit.
Well, and I do that. The separation between good and great teams is often defined on being able to win on the road. How much was that a part of your guys' mindset going into the season and going into that game? Like, if we're going to be as good as everybody says we are, we got to be able to pull this off.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the big things that as a unit we were locked in as. We know that we had to win big games on the road. We know we just can't be a home team. Love playing at home, though. We love playing at home. Can't lie. Love playing at home. Get a good our fans are crazy. You gotta love it. But you know, we knew what we were the type of team we were. We knew we were a great team. We knew Xavier was actually a great team. And they actually proved that they were a great team too as well, even down the stretch, and they proved a lot. They proved a lot as well.
So the season goes after that. We play Miami of Ohio, smoke them, and then you start to hit a really nice a nice rhythm here. You Little Rock, 9 points, 10 assists. Which, by the way, getting 10 assists in a college game is a ton. You just don't see that often. Jackson State, you hit 4 threes. I mean, I do want to take a moment to talk about your three-point shot, because clearly your three-point shot at the end of 21-22, and really the whole season, but the end of 21-22 and then into this year, it is clearly better than it was at the beginning of your college career. You are a workhorse. Everybody knows that you live in the gym. But can you talk a little bit about the development of your shot and how has it gotten better? Is it more reps, or are coaches working with you on changing mechanics? Are you tweaking mechanics? How has your shot developed since being at Indiana?
Honestly, a shout out to Coach Yeah. I would say he helped me a lot on my jump shot. And then that's when I actually hit a stride. I was averaging 17 points. It was actually, I would give most of my credit towards him, because he was in the gym when I texted him. I wanted to get in the gym before, like, even on game days and before I went to class. I got in the gym. I was shooting, and I actually got in the rhythm. And from there, I learned to find myself being a rhythm, more of a rhythm shooter. When I see the ball go in, I think I'm a great shooter. But yeah, as you see, when I miss a lot, you know, I curse to myself and I get mad a lot. But I've learned to have like a mental toughness about the game of honesty.
So did Coach Yah help like change anything about your shot, or was it literally just mental, the mental approach and the rhythm of it?
It was more mental approach. He honestly didn't change much. It was more footwork than anything. He told me once I do this, catch 1-2 left right, and shoot it. You know, it ain't that much to it. Left right, shoot. Yeah, because I honestly don't think it was nothing wrong with my jump shot with you know, just from the gathering point of me shooting the ball. I mean, a lot of people say it is, but I don't think there's much to it, honestly. Well,
it doesn't matter if it goes in, and it's been going in at a rate.
And my teammates, they were actually complimenting me this summer, you know, because I actually had took it was I guess it was the hitch of my shot, but I took the hitch out, and once I shoot the ball without a hitch, I'm pretty much mates.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering going into the season in these first few games, and maybe it's something we can track through when you become an observer of the game, and hopefully we can pick back up going into next season. What other aspects of your game were you focused on? Are you focused on to just get to that next level?
Honestly, just knowing what my teammates do, and seeing like the different changes in defensive that teams were doing. I would say with Fino, I helped him out literally on a lot of ball screen coverages. You know, I was trying to help him with pocket pads and tell him who the wide open man was, because I was seeing it through at a different direction. It's almost like being in class in an open luxury. Like it was kind of crazy that with me seeing it. You know, I was just seeing the game totally different. I can't wait to play, because I think I'm going to make some crazy passes next year. I don't know why. It's going to be some more crazy passes.
I love hearing that. To piggyback on that, Woody would talk a lot about how hard he is on you. Like, I mean, I think that of anybody in the first 2 years that Woody's been there, there's no one he's been tougher on than you. And it's because he knows how important the point guard position is, especially in his offense, which is so based around pick and rolls, right? So you have to make the right read. And he has talked about how much better you have gotten in his system. Can you talk to us a little bit about what had to change for you to fit more into Woody's system, that's something maybe you didn't do before, but now you're focusing on?
I would say my discipline, just preparation of the game. Before I came here, I had a coach, assistant coach that I watched film with. You know, he always watched film. He always worked me up before the games. He always got me prepared. But I mean, it was just a different level. Like with him, with Coach Wilson and his staff here, because you know, a lot of things are analytical. A lot of things are being recorded. So you know, I'm just rewatching a lot of stuff that I'm doing wrong and just correcting that at that point.
Wow. So you become, is it fair to say that, look, you're physically gifted. You're an incredible athlete. You're explosive. You know, you're incredibly quick. That's stuff that you were born with and then you cultivated by working out even more. But that stuff, when you're in high school and certain level, that can just get you by, right? Like, you don't have to be a student of the game. You can just dominate with that.
Yeah, I would say, well, in the area that I play basketball, in high school basketball, it's crazy. You know, you got like Hunter Dickinson was in my conference. Justin Moore, he goes to Villanova. Brandon Slater goes to Villanova. Miles Dredd, he played at Gonzaga. Prentice Hub. Like, it's countless names. Chris Likes. It's a lot of names. Markelle Fultz came from our conference as well. You know, it's a lot of dudes that play in our conference. So it was just physical. I would say you have to know how to play basketball in our conference, because it's our conference is like the, you know, it gets you ready to play college basketball. And I think that's why I came ready. And most of the players in that conference, they come ready to play college basketball.
But would you say that you've become more a student of the game while at Indiana than you were before?
Yeah, I would say I became more of a student of the game from at Indiana, because, you know, coaches sat me down. It's just a lot of resources. I have a lot of resources to go to if I need help with a certain thing. Like, you know, I think the best person I've probably watched film with is, right, it's probably for me, is Coach Yaw, because, you know, he played my position. He understands. Right. He's been around guards.
That's great. Well,
let's get into the North Carolina game. Now, I mean, you know, it wasn't like Purdue coming to town last year and you really saw how Assembly Hall could go nuts. But in terms of like a game of national relevance, and here is the team that was, you know, 40 minutes away from a national championship last year, the expected favorite this year. Of course, we all love seeing them crash and burn completely, but we didn't know that was going to happen when they showed up in Assembly Hall. Can you talk a little bit about the environment for that game and just getting ready to, you know, go toe-to-toe with another blue blood on your home court with the whole nation watching?
You know, it's crazy. You know, but I don't think nothing compares to that Purdue game. I would say that. But, you know, getting ready for that game, it was, you know, we got to be locked in because, you know, I think they were coming off a couple of losses. So, you know, a team with that type of team, being the number one team in the nation, you know, we either lose to them, help them gain more confidence, or we can just destroy them and, you know, how their season went. But I did a good job, though, playing them as well. You know, we were locked in. Everybody was locked in. Fino, I think with Fino getting his feet warm and on the away game at Xavier, you know, I think that helped him in that game become a better scorer, playing beside me as well.
So you pour in 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, you fill every stat line there is.
Two steals.
And it did feel like, wow, we really are. We have the potential to be as good as everybody hoped we would be. And then the truth is that the wheels started coming off a little bit right after that game because of injuries, not to you at this point, but other injuries. Jalen gets hurt. Trace is still dealing with a back, really, until the first of the year. And then we start Big Ten play. And let's just talk about Rutgers for a second. What is it about Rutgers? We did finally beat them this year, so I'm glad about that. But they punked us in Rutgers. What was it about that game? What is it about that team that seems to give us a lot of trouble?
I would say they defend at a high level. But I would honestly say that officiating was iffy that game. It wasn't as it should be. And I see why a lot of teams don't go in there and win. But I would say that they really do defend at a high level, and I see why, but they're one of the best defensive teams in the nation.
Yeah, that's fair. That's really diplomatic of you. Very diplomatic. I don't like it, but okay. So then sets up another national game, which is the Arizona game in Las Vegas. So let's talk a little bit of Las Vegas. First off, I assume you guys really didn't get to enjoy Las Vegas at all. Is that right?
No, we did not. We did not.
All right. Did you at least enjoy the send-off that a few thousand Hoosiers gave you in the MGM Grand?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hoosiers always show up and show out. That's one thing. They show up and show out. I mean, I'm glad they were there for us. Because I believe that it was way more, even though Arizona's red, I think there was more Indiana Hoosier fans that came across the nation, whoever drove there. It was way more fans than them.
Absolutely. Did you know that when you were coming out of the lobby to walk through the fans, did you notice that there was a giant leak in the roof that was pouring water on you guys as you walked out of the hotel?
I did not notice that. I had my shades on, so I really couldn't see. I read my mom until she came out of the front. I'm like, what was this? Like, I'm like, oh, that's my mom. That's the only real person I saw, honestly, through my glasses. You know, I had my glasses on because one of my teammates had told me before, like, they recorded. It was like, yo, it's a lot of people down here. It's a lot of people.
And, yeah, and, there was. The other thing that happened in that line was that Ward Roberts was trying to shoot a video of Trace because we helped organize all those people and get them there. And then he was following Trace, and a security guard physically assaulted Ward.
there's video proof.
Grabbed him and just threw him to the side.
Like a rag doll.
You got to get them if he threw you to the side like that.
Yeah.
See, the problem was we had not officially put together the alliance with the Cowboys yet because there were millions of Hoosiers, millions of Cowboys, and just a few Arizona fans. So the Cowboys who were in town for the rodeo and the Hoosiers, we ended up really creating a bond. And if it had been like 24 hours later, I think some Cowboys would have come to my defense.
Yeah. Look, he's so bored by your story, Ward. He had to get up and leave.
What is it? Do you feel better by tearing me down? Is that what it is? Does that make you build yourself up somehow?
All right, let's get to the game. The game starts and they smack us in the mouth. They're big, they're skilled, They can shoot the ball. What do you remember from that game? And could you feel it getting away from us pretty early? Also, I think it is important to state that Jalen Huchefino did not play in that game. You know, so again, we're playing a nationally ranked top team without our starting backcourt. So nothing against Trey, and Trey busts his ass and plays as hard as he can. But it's a difficult position to not have your full team there. What do you remember from that game, X?
For the start of the game, you know, I think I don't even remember the start of the game, but I remember myself picking up two quick fouls, one BS foul, but
yeah,
I would say that the other one I fouled him. I went out fast, and I think we were down. We were down. I think we actually was down too. We was going back and forth for a little minute, and then it got out of hand when I came out the game. And then we was down. When I look up, we down 16 when I get back in the game. But I told my team, early leads don't last. You know, early leads do not last. You know, Coach Josh is the same thing. You know, all our coaches preach that early leads, that they don't last. So we know we had to just buckle down and play hard. But we know that we knew that when we shoot ourselves in the foot, you know, it's kind of hard to win games like that when you shoot yourself in the foot, because we got back in the game, but we just couldn't finish it.
And I do wonder too, we can kind of have a side trace a tracker of, like, if he hadn't played practiced prior to the Xavier game, and I'm not sure what the deal was around North Carolina, but I feel like it was still underplayed, even though it was talked about. He was dealing with stuff all season, was he not, including for the Arizona game?
Yeah. I mean, Trace was a warrior this year. I would say that Trace was a real warrior. You know, he had to get his treatments. He was in the training room trying to do everything for his body, for the team. You know, because, you know, with me coming out, he has a way bigger load, and I'm glad Jalen picked up too. You know, him learning and taking off like that, I'm actually proud of him. He put himself in a good position.
Yes, he did. So that Arizona game, you end up with 11 points, another game of double-digit assists, 11 assists, only two turnovers in that game. You did get us back in it, and then they just had too much firepower at the end. And then that sets up the KU game. So, you know, win against Xavier on the road, great win. Win against North Carolina at home, great. Lose against Arizona, didn't feel great. But now Kansas on the road, another chance for us to really prove how good we can be against a team that clearly has national title aspirations as well. Let's first talk about Lawrence, Kansas, and the environment at Phog Allen. Had you ever been to Phog Allen before in your time at Pitt?
I have not. It was my first time.
What did you think?
You know, it wasn't. I don't think it bad. It doesn't compare to Assembly. You know, with it being a big time game, you know, top 25 matchup, top 15. I think it probably fell out at that point. Yeah, it was probably a top 20 matchup. But it had to be a top 20 matchup. But with it being a top 20 matchup, I would think it'd be sold out. You know, but I don't think the gym was sold out, because I saw like a couple bleachers not on the field. You know, but it's a good place to play though. It's a nice place to play. Beautiful place to play. It's a nice court.
The environment for a fan, it did feel big time. I mean, it felt like they were up for it. You know, their videos are good before the game. They get the crowd hyped. And then the game starts, and it starts rough. It starts a little bit, you know, it felt like shades of the Arizona game, where we were just playing a team that was quick and on a roll. It is an early lead. But let's just get to the moment of your injury. So what do you remember happening in that moment?
You know, I remember going out of court. I think I turned the ball over and I got it right back. And I just remember DeJuan just sweeping my like going under my legs, and I was trying to step over him and just get an easy layup. And then my foot, you know, I just felt a sharp pain. I tried to get up, as you saw, and walk it off, because I thought it was just like a little, like him bumping me. But when I tried to walk again, I felt right back down. And I knew it was bad, but I didn't think it was going to be like a season-ending injury.
Well, look, maybe the only thing that we have in common is that I experienced a very similar break not doing the same kind of strenuous activity as playing a high-end college basketball game, more like stepping off my stairs wrong, which is a problem for me. I have a problem walking. But I remember when I did it, and probably because I have more experience with falling than you do, I knew it was broken immediately. Like I knew it was not a sprained ankle. I knew this, I broke it. And then, you know, they tell you pretty early on, like, this is what happens with these breaks. It takes this many weeks for the bone to heal. You're going to be in a boot for this long. You can't put any weight on it for this long. And how quickly did you start doing the math of, okay, if everything goes well and I'm going to rehab as hard as I can, here's where I think I can return this season? Was that something you started doing immediately?
Oh, that's something I did immediately. I would say right when I got hurt, the Kansas docs, they told me 2 to 3 weeks. So I'm like, oh, it's nothing. And I'm like, and then once I get back, they're telling me like, you might be out for like 4 to 6 or 6 to 8. And I'm like, man, and I started from there. I was like, all right, I think my surgery was like December 18th or December 17th or something like that. December 23rd.
I think. It had to be a little after because I think the 17th was the game.
Yeah, 17 was the game. So I would say 6 days, it was 6 days after probably just the 23rd. And then I would say I did the math and it was, you know, I thought I could be back playing, you know, February 17th, which was at February 14th or 15th. It was at, which was at Northwestern, because I don't like that since I've been here, you know, we haven't beaten Northwestern. Granted, I have not played in a single game against Northwestern, but I do not like how they, you know, they beat us this year.
Some you didn't play, maybe. Yeah. Because it's your fault, but we don't need to get into that.
One was my fault. The other two, I would say it was kind of, you know, they lucked out of not having me on the floor.
I agree. So, I just got to ask you this because of my personal experience with breaking the foot. Did they give you any Percocet? Did they give you any Percocet or pain medication? And as a follow up, if you don't mind, did you take any of that? And did it cause you to see a giant turkey in your room with Race Thompson's head? Did that happen to you? Because it did happen to me.
No, I don't think they gave that to me. I would say that, you know, off the anesthesia gas that they gave you before surgery, I was very, very, very loopy. I think I was flirting with my doctor. It was a lady. You know, she was a fine little lady. You know, I got a high quality of choices. But I would say that's the only thing I remember. Me flirting with my doctor. You know, I was actually getting flirting with him. My mom was like, "Xavier, stop." I'm like, "Damn."
Is that your first surgery, X?
It's actually not. People actually don't know this as well. Before the season last year started, I actually had another surgery. My first surgery on my body, which was my kidney.
Oh wow, we're right. I think you told us that. I think you did tell us that.
Okay, so you're coming out of the fog of surgery, and you've already got that February 14th, 15th date, whatever it was in your mind. How? Like, can you just, like, it seems to me there's got to be a period of days before you can really start to attack the rehab or anything like that. We've heard from other players who have gone through injuries how difficult it is, and it goes through different stages. And particularly when you're in a place where you have not gone through a major injury in your playing career before, how does that start to sink in, and how difficult was it when you realized – I can't be out there with my guys for like many weeks?
I mean, it hit me as soon as I got hurt, but you know, once I was attacking rehab, you know, the guys would say I attacked rehab every day hard. You know, I was in there boxing, you know, I put a little video out what I was doing, but you know, I was in there working my tail off every day with Coach Cliff, you know, cause I really wanted to get back on the floor. Cause my main goal was to win a championship. And I believe that one of my best shots was this year, winning a championship with the team we had this year, because we were very talented at each spot.
So, X, how did you get over the mental You know, you said earlier in this that you were in a pretty dark place when you went down. And I can understand that. How did you deal with that? Like, did you have someone you would talk to about it, with one of the coaches or teammates, somebody you could lean on, family member? How did you just deal with the mental side of not being able to do what you do?
I mean, I'm honestly just like I'm a person that, you know, I honestly don't like people knowing my feelings, because, you know, everybody asks me, I say I'm doing good. I always say I'm doing good, but in reality, you know, I'm not always good. But, you know, I just like to get through things on my own. You know, I know it's not a good thing, but it can be a good thing for some people, because, I mean, in all the places I've been in my life, you know, I think I took the next step by myself, you know, just becoming more mature in a certain way. You know, being at the bottom, you know, it teaches you a lot of lessons. And you know, I just learned how to get over the hump. And you know, some people talk to me. My dad talked to me. You know, my mom's in my corner all the time. But they didn't. My mom really don't understand, like, from I was taking injury per se and wanting to play. My dad, he has more of the understanding. But I would say, you know, I just took it honestly day by day, because I thought I was really going to be back on the floor with my team. But, you know, I took a lot of time just thinking and like, because I knew I wasn't honestly 100% healed. And my doctor was telling me that my foot wasn't all the way healed yet. I was about 70% being from healed. That was healed. So,
you know, X, you can always talk to us. We're here. We're good. We're good listeners. We'll support you. You know, we've got four shoulders to cry on. All right, Ward, go ahead.
After that moving moment here on the Hoosier Hysterics, I wanted to circle back to your time with Cliff, Coach Cliff. I always wonder, when you have a lower extremity injury like that, what can you do aside from the specific work on the foot to try to help that heal? Like, can you do stuff for cardio and aerobic? Are you working on your shot? Are you working on your upper body? How could you supplement what you couldn't do on your foot with the rest of your game and your health?
I would think my doctor said, like, the first 2 weeks I had to, you know, just lift upper body and lift my one leg. Then I began with, I think, with the third and fourth week, I began lifting on my right leg. Just getting, because my right leg was skinny. People didn't know my right leg was skinny compared to my left one. You know, it's not hard to tell which one was skinny. I think by the fourth, fifth, and sixth, I was getting in the water, started running. You know, I started to do a little bit, started to cut, started to do ladders and stuff. You know, it was just each level just getting better each time. You know, just take advance in a way each time. But I would say that I was almost there, but, you know, my health is more important than, you know, playing right now.
And your future. I have to know a couple things. You took a position on the bench during games that you were like the first guy on the bench next to, sometimes I think directly next to.
I took the first one right next to the last assistant every time.
Right. So how does that happen, X? Is that something that you say you want? Do you talk to the coaches about that? I'm just curious how that comes to be.
I didn't talk to them about it. I just sat there. I told them I'm about to be up here coaching. Like, I'm a coach now, because, you know, I see a lot of the stuff, you know, because, you know, sometimes the players, you know, they don't, sometimes, you know, you hear a coach talk, it's kind of like, oh man, stop talking to me. Like, you know, now I know how players are. A lot of players are like that. But when you hear from a teammate, you kind of accept it more and you see it differently.
Yeah, and look, in my own experience, when I come over to the bench and you're the one telling me what's going on out there, I'm locked in. I'm like, that's X. He knows what he's talking about, and that's why he's sharing the knowledge with me. So why wouldn't Trace Jackson Davis feel the same way as me?
It wasn't a lot that you tell Trace, though. It wasn't a lot. He could do it a lot on his own.
Again, so, I totally understand.
The other thing I want to know about is – The starters would get together and huddle up before each game just by themselves. and you were part of that huddle for the remainder of the season. How did something like that happen? Was that something that you took on yourself as a leader to try to keep this team together? How did that happen? Why was it important for you?
It was important to me because, you know, I always want to see my guys succeed. You know, I know we hit a rough patch in the midst of the season, but, you know, I actually cried after we lost to Penn State because I was like, man, what in the world? Because I thought, honestly, things were going downhill, but, you know, I just kept working with my guys. You know, we grinded it out. But, you know, I'm a voice that they actually accept because they know I want to see them win. They know that, you know, I see things differently, and they know I'm always in their corner, and they know who the first person they have a problem on the court, who the first person going to be up for the challenge. So I would say that.
A lot was made after a players only get together after the Penn State game. And it wasn't just you guys. We all, with the injuries that had accumulated and that three-game stretch with Iowa, Northwestern, and Penn State, we were like, oh my God, it's fallen apart completely. Was that meeting, as was made out to be publicly, a really important turning point for the team? Can you tell us what went on in there?
I can't tell you because I wasn't actually in that meeting because, you know, I think that it was more of a trace and he was telling people who need to step up. And I'm actually proud of Trace because I don't think Trace would have done that last year. You know, that's a big step in his maturity of being a leader in his way too. But I would say, you know, Trace was telling dudes that they need to step up and you know, they can't feel sorry for me. Cause you know, I mean, you can't just be, if you feel sorry for me, I feel bad for you because this your time to play. So let's just go out there and play. We need somebody to go out there and play and provide. So, you know, and the guys actually did a good job this year and we exceeded. I would say, you know, I know expectations was us for us to get the championship, but I believe we exceeded expectations with me going down.
So, you obviously, when you first injure yourself, that's a dark place to be in. When you find out you're going to have surgery and that's going to keep you out longer, that's a dark place. But then you start to see the light because you are progressing day by day. And look, not to spill the tea, as they say, but you know, I ran into you on the court at the Illinois game, and you really thought that you were going to be back for that Northwestern or Iowa home game. And even the coaches thought you were probably going to be back in limited minutes. But even days before that, even the day before that Iowa game, I think everybody was expecting you to be back. And then you get the news from the doctors, it's just not healed all the way. And the chances of you re-injuring it are too high to make any sense for your future.
Yeah.
You know, I can imagine that might have been even worse of a dark place than the gut punch of the injury. What was that like? How was that communicated to you around that time when you actually did make the decision to shut it down?
I mean, it was kind of hard for me to tell them I didn't want to play. Well, I didn't say I didn't want to play, but I told them that, you know, it was kind of hard for me to actually shut it down because I honestly never had to do that before. But I mean, I slept on it, and you know, the next day I just woke up. All right, I'm gonna just shut it down for this. It's the best thing for my future because, you know, because I really do want to play basketball in the NBA. That's my main goal.
Sure.
Yeah,
I get it. So you talked earlier about the things you're so excited to get back out there because of the things you learned by watching the game this way that you've never watched it before. Can you tell us something specific that you learned from being a coach, a player coach, if you will, this year for the last half of the year? What did you learn that you're excited to put into practice?
Honestly, the reads and just seeing the floor open up in different ways, you know, knowing when to shoot, when not to shoot, just the style of the game and how to slow down the game in ways. I mean, it's honestly a lot. It's honestly countless things I can say. You know, I just can't wait to put on the floor. I ain't going to say too much, but I just can't
wait.
I'm curious about, look, they talk about great guard play gets you deep in March. And I think so many of those expectations going into the season were predicated on you and Jalen playing side by side. And I will go to my grave believing We would have gotten a lot further in the tournament. Maybe we'd be playing tonight if we had you both out there starting on the court. The fates did not have that in mind for this team. But you did get to watch and see Jalen really blossom. And I think a lot of people knew coming into the season how talented he was. But particularly with your absence, he had to exceed those expectations. What did you learn from watching him and his growth with the best seat in the house?
Honestly, just his work alone. You know, I work hard too as well, but I mean, it's just honestly the, like, when you work hard, you know, you get good results, and that's what he had for himself. Because Jalen works really hard, and honestly, you know, another thing I would take away from Jalen's game is his mindset. You know, when he misses a lot of shots, you know, I don't think nobody sees like how he takes it himself. You know, he doesn't, you know, get into his own way. Like, he's gonna shoot the next shot. We know that.
He does. He has that. He has like short-term memory. Like, it's just like whatever happened the last time down the court, it didn't seem to faze him the next time he came down.
But I'm curious about that one, X, because that is the opposite of how you play the game of basketball.
Well, I know.
You know, you are emotional and you feed off of your emotion, and sometimes really good, and sometimes it's hurt you. You know, I mean, I think sometimes you would admit you get a little overheated, and then the game probably speeds up a little bit. So do you look at the way that not just Jalen, but there's plenty of guys that have played like that. I mean, Devin Booker, I think, plays like that in the pros, you know, where he's pretty even keel. Do you try to take some of that for this next season? Are you going to try to keep your emotions in check, or does that hurt what makes you great?
Nah. I actually thought about trying actually not to show my emotions way more. Cause you know, a lot of other teams feed off that when you show your emotions even more.
Right.
So I would say I actually took a lot of that from him as well. I mean, that's one of the top things I've learned from him.
Wow.
I wanted to circle back around to Trace in terms of you saying the way he stepped up in his leadership, but just, I mean, look, it was a huge national story. How Trace, who's been pretty incredible for 3 years, took it to another level. What did you see in his game and the way it evolved for him to become not only one of the greatest college basketball players in the land, I would say the greatest, but also an all-time Hoosier great. But so much of that story was written this season. Specifically, what did you see and be like, whoa, Trace, I didn't even know you could do that, dude.
I would say one thing I really saw him take off and is I almost called him a point guard, but he passing the ball. I would say that's the one thing he really took off, because he actually did lead us in assists. He led the team in assists, which is crazy to say, but he actually led us in assists. And I was actually proud because, like, you know, we needed somebody I think Trace understood how great of a player and how much attention he grabs from other teams. And he actually helps the other teammates around him be better in that way. Cause you know, then Miller started making shots. Then, you know, Race got in there and made a couple layups and a couple threes. You know, then Fino got going. Fino was feeding off of Trace, and, you know, his energy just bringing to the game. And when Trace is locked in, you know, I think that let everybody know, like, we got to be locked in too.
So these last 2 years have been tumultuous. It's a new coach, obviously, and Woody. He's the only coach you've known at Indiana. But lots of ups and downs, injuries, you know, a lot of stuff has happened. Made the NCAA tournament last year for the first time in 6 years. Made it again this year. Your injury, Trace battled injuries. You form a bond with your brothers on that team, and you're a family. And the way college basketball works now, it's very easy for families to break up. And that's what's happening this year because of graduation and because of the transfer portal. You know, we lost in the transfer portal, obviously, Logan, Jordan, and Tamar. And if I'm not mistaken, you and Tamar got really close, and you guys were good friends over the last couple of years. How hard is it to see your brothers decide to go? And by the way, I'm not casting aspersions. Everybody's got to do what's right for them. But how hard is that for you to see this kind of thing that you were building over these last 2 years end? And personally, these are your friends. How hard has that been for you to see that transpire?
It's actually just really hard because, you know, those are guys that I've been around almost every day since I've been here. My first day here, I met all those guys. And you know, now I'm stuck with Anthony Little and pretty Galloway. So. Nah, but they're all my guys though still. But you know, me and Tamar, we used to be a better relationship where, you know, nothing is gonna ever stop us from being best friends. You know, Geronimo, I've talked to all of them, and you know, I told them, you know, y'all can still hit me up. You know, I'm still a teammate. I'm the type of teammate, you know, I look out for everybody, even though, you know, they're not, you know, even putting on the same jersey. Because, you know, if you're brothers, for me once, you brothers for life. So that's the type of relationship I gain with everybody.
Until you meet on the court next year, and then you just smoke them for 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I hope we don't get nobody that had any other jersey with one of my brothers that I get to play, because I'm going to be the one guard. I don't care if it's Geronimo. I'm guarding them. I already talked tomorrow. I said tomorrow, we play y'all, you're not scoring, so you already know.
Let's.
I mean, the truth is, in an Indiana jersey, Tamar didn't score either. I had to do it. It was
no,
right.
You did, that's
it was
buddy.
Right there.
You're talking to his buddy. Why would you do
it
that?
It was right there on my work in comedy. And come on, it was right there, X. That was a good one. That was a good burn.
That was a good one. I actually got on his head about that too. You know, I told him. I said, like, look, bro, like. You can't be around me. You ain't scoring the ball. Like, what you? Yeah, I made a couple of jokes with him, and it's all funny games. But you know, I told him, like, look, like this got to be a learning experience for him as well. Coach, you know, he trusted you doing certain things. You know, I'm pretty sure he didn't get the time that he probably wanted. You playing in a jersey. You know, being a star and playing 30 plus minutes. You know, he didn't honestly didn't get that, but you know, those guys get to get that chance somewhere else. He's, you know,
yeah.
Indiana might not be for them, you know, because when I left Pittsburgh, I knew that I needed to restart. I think all those guys need to restart. I think they'll excel in the next restart because they know what's expected of them, and they know they've been through what they've been through, and I think that'll motivate them to not be the same.
Right, and let me just say one thing about Tamar. Sure. I love Tamar. I mean, I've got to know Tamar. I held his baby at the KU game.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I mean,
dig your way out of there.
No, I do. I mean, look, I can joke about people. We joke. That's what we do. I love Tamar, and I love his family. We both got to know his dad and his mom. I love them, and I wish them nothing but the best. But when a joke is sitting there, I'm not going to let it pass by. Okay.
Looking forward to next season, and you were out there on the court today, I think, okay, Jalen's gone, but oh, thank goodness you're coming back. Knock on wood, fingers crossed. The people up in Indianapolis agree that that's the right thing to do. So there's a great amount of relief there for Hoosiers everywhere being like, oh, X back at point guard. That's okay. Trace is leaving. And Race, too, obviously, who's been a part of Indiana University since the late 70s. So that's also a big deal. But with Trace leaving, did the late 70s joke? It just went by everybody. Eric's texting and X.
I got a weird.
Yeah, that went by. That went by. Yeah.
I zoned out.
It was a Race has been here for a really long time joke. But I'm looking even more towards Trace's departure. But we do have. We hope, presume, it's the portal season, so we never can be too sure of everything, but we certainly hope Malik is coming back. What did you see from that young fella? Because there was some great moments, some great games, some great stretches when that guy was on the court. What did you see from him this freshman year, and how exciting is it to think that the two of you could really be building blocks for what this team is next year?
You know, Malik's coming back. I think he has to take the next step. And I'm gonna help him in the ways I can help him. But I think, like I would say, last year when Malik came in, he was. You know, I would say I was one of the best players, but I think Malik was one of the second best player in the gym. You know, because he was showing what he could actually really do. He was scoring on Trace and Race back to back. He was.
he has that. He honestly has a lot of moves that he can. I would say a bag in the basketball terms. He has a large bag in what he can do. And I think that next year, you know, with him taking his next step, I want him to actually prove what he can actually do to a lot of people, because he's honestly a talented big, and I think that could play at the next level. And it's honestly talented, beyond talented.
How soft is his touch around the rim? It's just so soft. The ball just goes in.
Oh, yeah. He has very good touch. And I've seen that from day one.
Have you also seen
– day one. Going on track with you guys.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
He also has more of a mid-range game, right? Like, the guy can shoot from outside facing the basket.
Yeah, he actually can shoot. You know, he was knocking down threes, back to the basket, posting tracing race, fading, hitting tough fades. I'm sitting here like, man, he got a game. And I honestly think that people got to see that in the Xavier game, you know, when he exploded and was going off. You know, he has that it factor where he can get, you know, act like a gorilla and start yelling and getting texts like me, you know?
So the future, besides, you know, Trey and Malik coming back, and then obviously Caleb and CJ, who have a lot of potential as well, we're in transfer portal recruiting season. And word is that you've become, let's call it, the fourth recruiter on the team.
Oh, yeah.
that you have been recruiting. So I know we can't talk about individual guys. I don't want to bring up any individual name. But word is that you're making a lot of phone calls. Is that true?
Yeah, I am. You know, I feel like we need guys. We have a lot of time to fill. You know, I think with you know, even with our young guys coming, beginning to be sophomores, and the guys we have coming back, I still think we need more pieces. And I think that, you know, a lot of people do like to play with me. Nobody has a problem playing with me because, you know, I pass the ball. So everybody know that I'm a pass first point guard, and, you know, I'm always, you know, rely on my teammates to play at a high level too as well. So, I mean, I want guys coming here not just for, you know, NIL wise, because NIL has taken over a lot of people's heads. But, you know, I want people that want to come in here and play, not just for money wise. Just, I want people to come in here and win a championship. That's the main thing I want to do for my last year. And I don't want to do nonetheless.
What do you tell people about Woody when you're talking to a kid? Imagine Ward is a player that you want to come transfer to Indiana, and they say to you, "But what's the coach like? What's coach like? How do you describe Woody?"
If I'm telling Ward, I'm like, bro, you don't want to come here. I would tell Ward, I don't think he'll make it through the conditioning workout, and then that'll tell Coach Elias.
Very good. All right. So now let's say you're talking to a 6'6" wing who can really shoot the three, and he's got a lot of suitors out there, and he says to you, "I'm interested in Indiana, but I don't know anything about this Coach Woodson. What's he like?"
You know, as a transfer coming in too as well, you know, as myself, when I first transferred here, I didn't know what to expect. But, you know, I would say he was a down to earth dude, and he hasn't lied to me from day one. Everything he's kept, you know, he's kept me, you know, from out of trouble, and he's done a lot of things for me as well, on and off the floor. You know, he's another father figure I look at. You know, he tells me every day. Some days when I walk in now, he's like, "Son, you can be my son." I'm like, "I don't want to be a son. I'll be a player, but I want to be a son." I love Coach Woodson, though. You know, he's a funny guy to be around. You know, when it's time to be business, it's business time. When it's time to, you know, it's laugh and joke. You know, everything's fun and games, but it's business. Everything means business.
One thing you mentioned was you're really interested in players who want to come to Bloomington and win and be a part of the team, and NIL isn't a major focus necessarily or the main focus for them. One guy we know who's showing up who fits that bill, who has been recruiting just as hard as you have and the assistant coaches, and who will be looking to you for mentorship is Gabe Cupps. I think he was at more games this season than any of the players. Have you gotten to know Gabe at all? Have you gotten to see any of his game? You know, because this guy's the heir apparent to you when your time is done. What do you know about Gabe?
I know that he's a winner. That's the first thing that pops in my mind. You know, I actually didn't get to see a lot of his games, but I watched him last year when he committed, when he was already committed and he was playing in an assembly. But I didn't realize I was going to be his teammate. Didn't right. realize. I really didn't get the actual personal relationship with him. You know, I can't wait till he gets on campus. You know, I'll gain that trust with him and being his teammate. I'll help him out in certain areas because, you know, I'm a vet now. This will be my sixth year, but knock on wood, this will be my sixth year. And you know, I'm the vet. I'm the y'all. I got time for all the old jokes with race and all that. But
yeah, you are that guy. We're going to be making fun of you for being there for 15 years now. Listen, X, you've given us a ton of time, and I want to let you go. I love that during the course of this interview, you had to grab a basketball. It was like too much time away from a basketball. Look, man, I said it at the beginning. I'll say it again. The injury sucks. It was awful because we know what we could have been with you. The silver lining is, look, man, the keys to Indiana basketball are being handed to you. You're going to be the guy that's leading this team. And we love you, man. And we love what you bring to this team. Did a roommate just walk in? Who just walked in?
No, that's actually Scoop.
Scoop! Look at this! Buddy! Hey, man. Hey, man. We're sad that you're leaving, but good luck to you. And by the way, if X tells you, I did maybe crack a joke at your expense during this podcast, but it's okay. It's okay. Hey, man, good luck to you and your daughter.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You saw it.
All right, man. But X, back to you for a second. The silver lining here is we get to root for you for another season, man. You're going to be fully healthy. The waiver's going to come through. We're excited that you're leading Indiana for next season. And, I just can't wait to see what the future holds because it's going to be exciting with you at the helm.
I appreciate it. Thank you. No, I can't wait. I can't wait. We're going to get that championship. I promise you we're going to get that championship.
Well, all right.
You're talking about you and me in the fantasy camp next year. We're going to get that championship.
Hey, if you're on my team, you better have gotten better. That's all I know. You better have been in the gym.
I'm going to disappoint you again. Charge,
if you ain't defending nobody, if you out there laughing and joking, you are not going to be on my team. Like, I'm going to trade you. Like, I'm just trading you.
I will try my hardest. That's all I can promise.
Now, you try your hardest. We don't need you to do that. I need you to be basketball player. Like, I need you to be locked in. That's all I need you to do.
Maybe I should coach for the fans.
Yeah, Morton's gonna be a coach.
Nah. He gotta be a player because I gave him shoes and all that. He gotta be a player.
It's true. That's true.
All right, X, be good, man, and good luck. Hope the foot keeps healing, and good luck with the waiver. We're confident that it's gonna come through for you.
Thank you.
And remember,
take care, brother.
Remember, if times get tough, you can always talk to us.
I got you.
Shoulders.
Three shoulders.
No, X. We got you.
I don't know who I do, but.
All right, man. Be good.
All right. Appreciate y'all.
That was our guest. That was our guest.
Just, I love him, right? You love him. You love X. X marks the spot, Ward.
X marks the spot. We're only looking at the future now. It's often what we Hoosier fans, it's all we have. Because, you know, what the season could have been, it's in the rearview mirror. Looking towards next season, if you have a good point guard, you can have a good team. Who knows who's going to be around him? But if that's the guy running the show, dishing out the ball, bringing the young guys along, we're going to be a lot better team next year than we would have been without X.
I also just thought a lot of interesting stuff that he talked about, you know, about the injuries that he was dealing with last year. I love X. You know, he's had a bumpy road at times. There's been some ups and some downs, but he's a fighter. He is a fighter. He has that dog in him. I think about, you know, Tom Coverdale way back when telling us we needed guys with FU in them. He's got FU in him. And I'm glad that I wish it wasn't under this circumstance, but I am glad that he's our point guard next year.
Yeah.
Looking back, assuming the waiver comes through.
Looking back, as I just said, we aren't doing anymore. But in this conversation, being like, did we lose a game this season with a fully healthy team? We didn't, because Jalen was out for both Rutgers and Arizona.
Correct. We did.
And then X went down.
You're right.
Kansas
We're undefeated.
Game.
We're the champion. That's how it works. That's how it works. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics. No E, no I.
But the sometimes why.
Remember when we said we were going to get guests to say it for us, and we've just never done it because we're idiots?
It's so unlike us not to deliver on something we promised.
All right, now let's go shoot the intro.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.